Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
You up? You up? You ready? We want to do this? National League After Dark, baby. Brewers pull it off somehow in 11 innings. They win 7-4 over the Arizona Diamondbacks in a game, quite frankly, we talk about it a lot, of games the Brewers should have won, could have won, that sort of thing. The Brewers did not deserve to win this game. They didn't. And they did it anyway. I think, though, the number one group that deserved to win this game was the bullpen, because the Brewers bullpen saved the backside of everybody else on offense. It saved Kyle Harrison today, a combined 8 1/3 scoreless innings. And maybe the most wild stat of all of this, in those 8 1/3 innings, we know how talented this bullpen is for the Brewers, is they only had 4 strikeouts as a bullpen unit in that 8 1/3. Arizona is a tough team to strike out. They're a great offense, and the Brewers somehow 3-for-18 with runners in scoring position, leaving 12 runners on base, making multiple errors, one throwing, one base running, two base running, really. And nonetheless, they somehow got it done with a 4-run top of the 11th inning. Welcome in. If you're staying up late, thanks for staying up. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Happy 4th of July. We've got the YouTube live chat going as well. You know, somehow the Brewers win this game. And I think that the way that this game was managed and the way that the middle and late portions of regulation at least went indicated both managers were just playing for one run. And I think that's what led to this game sort of being stalled and stuck in neutral, if you will. I look at the opportunities, especially for the Brewers in that 8th inning. You get a leadoff double and a walk, and this was the conundrum that Murph was faced with. You got a lefty on the mound, a righty warming in the bullpen, knowing that they're going to go to Andrew Vaughn at some point in that frame. Now, you can guarantee Andrew Vaughn in that bat against a lefty by having him hit for Sal Frelick, or you have Sal bunt, then you have Andrew Vaughn hit for Cooper Pratt, or David Hamilton for that matter. But by then, you're past the 3-batter minimum, and a righty would be coming in to face Andrew Vaughn, and you lose that platoon advantage. I'm not saying Andrew Vaughn can't hit a lefty, or a righty, I should say. The point being is they got a little cute. They were playing for one run. Now, granted, Vaughn comes in, hits into a fielder's choice to put men on the corners with one out, and this is where the one run came in. Cooper Pratt trying to hit a squeeze bunt, and it wasn't a great bunt by any stretch. It was just barely out in front of the plate. He chopped it, but Bowers made a very poor read on the safety squeeze. The operative word of a safety squeeze is you stay safe. And he hesitated coming down the line. The moment you hesitate, you're done for. Great read by Gabby Moreno to throw him out at third base. Jake knew the mistake as soon as he hesitated and started to come home, then realized it was far too late. It wasn't going to score anyway. A couple of other mental errors in this game too, right? Like David Hamilton had a couple of poor plays at third base. He ran into a double play when he didn't even need to be running. But all that went wrong in this game, somehow they got the dub. Somehow they did it. And I think that the way that we look at the Brewers against teams that they should be beating, right? So this now is another win against the Diamondbacks. They won 3 out of 4 against them back at the end of April when the Brewers weren't healthy, mind you, at that point. That was when the Brewers were without all of the guys. That they were without Yelich, Churio, and Vaughn at that point at the end of April. But the Brewers, I should say, they won 2 out of 3, not 3 out of 4. So now they have won 3 out of 4 on the season. So one more, they take the tiebreaker. But, you know, when you watch the Brewers and how they stack these wins, obviously they have the best record in division in baseball. But part of the reason they're in this position, too, is how well they've done against teams they're supposed to beat. Now, the team that's kind of solved them is the Washington Nationals, given the Nats won 4 out of 6 games head-to-head against them this year, but they've won a series against Miami. They've won a series against Philadelphia. Yes, they lost a series against Atlanta, but hey, that's a team that's in first place right now. They have the season edge on the Cubs. They swept the Cardinals last time they faced them. They haven't faced Pittsburgh in a while. They've dominated the Reds all season long. They won a series against San Diego, won a series against Colorado. split a series with San Francisco. That's the only one here in the National League that I can go, that and the Nats are the two you're like, But doing this against a team that can hit, man, Arizona can hit. That top four is a scary top four, even top five when you include Gurriel Jr. And I thought they were masterful in the way they handled Corbin Carroll, the intentional walk in the 10th inning. I thought it was a mistake by Torey Lovello in the 11th inning to not walk Bryce Turang to then allow him to hit the single. I thought, hey, you've already got two runs in. You might as well play for the double play with right on right with William Contreras on deck. And ultimately, he allowed Turang to have the platoon advantage and hit a ball the other way. But and then he got the strikeouts the next two batters. So hindsight is 20-20, of course. But I was shocked when they intentionally walked Christian Yelich to face Jackson Chourio. That made sense in the platoon advantage. You know, Thompson is a guy that faces righties. But then to not do it for Turang and to for them to burn you, I thought that was a massive mistake by Torey Lovello today. Just opening thoughts as I ramble on this solo episode of Brewers Extra Innings. We're not going to go for very long, obviously. It's late night. There's so much that can be complained about or, you know, just fine-tooth comb of saying, here's what went wrong, here's what went wrong, here's what went wrong. We got to give some love to the bullpen before we talk about Kyle, before we talk about the offense at a more larger. I mean, the bullpen was so good today. Your text, live chats, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Whew. How'd they do that? 7-4 over the Diamondbacks in 11 innings. How about it? Jeff from Elkhorn, I thought Murph made a mistake in the eighth when Freelich should have stayed in the bunt. That's what we just talked about. Vaughn should have hit for Pratt, then they would have gone to the righty. I don't mind the safety squeeze, but I'd rather have Vaughn hitting with guys on second and third after a successful Freelich bunt. I don't mind Vaughn hitting with first and second. I'm fine with either one. I think, though, it was the matter of the matchups and knowing what was coming on the other side. This one from Nick. This was probably the best bullpen performance of the season. 8 1/3 innings, no earned runs. You could almost have a full SportsCenter top 10 plays for this one game. What a win. Yep, good one there, Nick. There, the Gurriel play we'll talk about in the next segment, but yeah, I agree entirely. What a day defensively, especially for the Diamondbacks. Happy fourth. Brewers got the win. I'm concerned about two things. The eighth inning strategy from Murph I thought was bad. I just explained why I didn't think it was. Don't know why you take out Vaughn if you're playing for one run with the bunt, which they were playing for one run with the bunt because one run would have won this game. Second, felt like the bullpen's being used a lot this year. It doesn't catch up to us at season's end. Hell of a win, though. You're right on that last one, but the bullpen, man, whew. Chad Patrick started it all, man, because 3 1/3 innings from Chad, given his struggles lately and given what he's been going through, trying to figure out his new routine, what works for him, but it was never in danger. I think that's the best part of Chad Patrick today. He came in, he got Vargas to pop out on the first pitch with runners on second and third. Then, I mean, he just locked it down. He retired. If you ask me, he didn't allow a hit. If I was the official scorer, he didn't allow a hit today. I know they gave a hit to Vargas on that double clutch from Hamilton in the sixth inning. That should probably get changed if you ask me. But nonetheless, Chad Patrick, ball was never in danger. There was a nice play in left, obviously, by Jackson Chourio, robbing Gurriel, who robbed Garrett earlier in the game. It all starts and ends with Chad Patrick to me because Ashby, Uribe, and McGill, I hate to say you expect it, but you sort of expect it, right? These are your leverage arms. They did their job. They kept the run off the board. No, it wasn't striking out the side and the most disgusting stuff you've ever seen because they've been used a ton. And every game leads to the next, right? And they had to be used twice against Cincinnati. They obviously weren't used in Thursday's game, but yet you've been used a lot. They're probably down tomorrow, and then hopefully they're available for Sunday, and then they're going to be down for Monday, and you're only getting a chance to use them once in a doubleheader. I mean, this is when you're going, oh, man, please get us to the All-Star break. Get us to the All-Star break. But for Chad Patrick to go 3 1/3 and to keep them in position to win this game, the other thing on top of that, too, the Brewers' offense was doing nothing, and we'll talk about the offense in the next segment. But again, the bullpen gets gassed. It's all connected because the offense isn't creating separation, right? Today, Kyle Harrison did not have his stuff. That third inning of command completely evaded him. It wasn't like he was walking the world. He only had one walk, but allowing contact with two strikes, right? Four of the five batters in that inning reach with two strikes. That's not Kyle Harrison's MO. And the rest of this game, too, I mean, again, The Diamondbacks are a very hard team to strike out. It's their whole philosophy. They hit the ball hard. They make quality contact. But after that third inning, they did not create any runners in scoring position opportunities other than for three pitches in the seventh inning after a stolen base from Tommy Troy. That's it. After the third inning, they had, I should say, five pitches, Geraldo Perdomo and Corbin Carroll with a runner in scoring position until extra innings. And then even in extra innings, they intentionally walk to have runners on first and second. They get the clutch double play. They get the pop out. And then, yes, a base hit scores the unearned run in the 11th inning. And the Brewers bullpen, Grant Anderson, put some respect on it. I know he's been struggling. I know he's the bane of a lot of people on Twitter about his season. His role is not to normally pitch in these roles. And he came in. He got the window of righties he was supposed to get. The double play to Moreno was the moment I knew the Brewers were going to win this game. I kind of was surprised. I understood the Gurriel versus Arenado. Who do you want? Do you want the experience? Do you want the guy that's a free swinger that will likely swing at a first pitch? He swung at a second pitch in Gurriel. I think that for Grant Anderson to do what he did, to throw two innings, granted the Brewers gave him some runs to deal with, but the rankings, the power rankings of whose performances, if we're doing like a hockey-style three stars from just bullpen guys today, first star is Chad to go 3 1/3. Second star is Grant Anderson, no doubt. And quite frankly, I'm giving the third star actually to Ashby, despite the leadoff walk to Tommy Troy, to face the top of this order. Ketel Marte from his better side, Geraldo Perdomo, who refuses to strike out but struck out twice today, and then Corbin Carroll, who's been dominating lefties this season, hitting .379 against lefties. Pretty impressive stuff for Merritt Ashby. So don't take this bullpen for granted. It's not going to be like this every game. Everyone's looking at Brandon Woodruff tomorrow saying, hey, man, can we get some length out of you? Can he get into the sixth, seventh inning perhaps? And maybe they're looking to the offense like, hey, guys, can he be up like 6-0 by that point too? So everything is connected. But the bullpen deserves the shine today for what they were able to do against Arizona. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Let's go ahead and take a phone call late at night. Don't make us regret this. Mike from Rockford. Mike, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I became a Brewers fan about 25 years ago when I moved to Northern Illinois. And obviously I'm in Cubs country, but I just really enjoy the entire culture, the mood of the Brewers, going to the games is very enjoyable. As for tonight's game, I really thought the Brewers were in trouble when they were 2-for-15, I think, at one point with runners in scoring position. I thought they were going to lose this game in extra innings, but it's just so fun to see them win in so many different ways and keep pressure on the opponent's defense and just grind out runs and get to, what now, 22 games over .500, and the Cubs got clobbered today, which is spectacular.
Amen to that. Appreciate the call. You're right on the different style of play. The Brewers did a little bit of everything today, and you're right. They finished 3-for-18 with runners in scoring position. And we'll dive deeper into the offense in the next segment, but I will always repeat the line that I say over and over and over again. I would rather have an offense that is struggling to get the quote-unquote big hit, but is giving themselves, you know, 12, 14, 16 plate appearances with runners in scoring position every night, because that's the sign of a healthy offense, that you have a multitude of players that can get on base. I mean, you look at today's starting lineup, until that little dribbler from Jackson Churio in the 11th inning to give the Brewers a lead on the mistake by Ryan Thompson, he was the last starter that wasn't Sal Frelick, I should say, but Sal was already out of the game. He was the last starter to not get on base until the 11th inning. Every starter aside from Sal Frelick got on base in this game. Everybody has a way to get into this contest and have their fingerprint impact something for a Brewers victory. And yep, that's right. Brewers now 54-32, back to 22 games above .500 to match their high water mark. Brewers get the dub. But the offense is in this weird rut right now. What the heck is going on? We'll talk about that next on 620 WTMJ.
Still going. Still awake. Hot and cold.
Somebody who's hot, Garrett Mitchell. Somebody who's cold, the rest of the Brewers' offense. With the runners in scoring position, that is. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. After a day at the lake, the golf course, the ballpark, you can come home to comfort with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R.com, to schedule service today and stay cool all summer long. Let's start about Garrett Mitchell first, because there's a positive that we can touch on here briefly before I'm sure the rest of this day is going to be about, why can't they get a hit with runners going position? Ah, what's going on? Okay, look, Garrett is on a roll. His only hit today was a homer to dead center field, and then was robbed of another homer on a shot the opposite field on a great catch by Lourdes Gurriel Jr. over the yellow line. But let me give you two dates that we want to monitor. We've been saying this for a while now. May 14th, the middle of that Padres series when he really started to feel like, I'm doing better. That's now a 39-game sample size for Garrett. 320 batting average, 385 on base, 607 slugging, and a 992 OPS. He's got 19 extra base hits in those 39 games, 20 runs scored. The strikeout rate has actually fallen drastically compared to his season rate during this time. Since May 14th, his strikeout rate has fallen to 31%. I mean, when he started this, it was north of 40%. So he continues to show signs that, okay, I've got an approach, I've got a game plan when it comes to, you know, what am I going to get attacked with? What do I need to be looking for? And that sort of thing. And then furthermore, you look back to the last game against Cincinnati, and really a lot of June is this way too. Let's just go ahead and include the entire road Cincinnati series. And so one, two, three, and tonight. The last three series and tonight. Garrett, his third homer. He's 11 for 28. That's a 393 average. He's got five walks and six strikeouts in that time. He has as many extra base hits in his last 11 games as he does strikeouts. That's the guy that everyone was dreaming about. And we talked about it a lot in Wednesday's Brewers Extra Innings, that when Garrett Mitchell is hot, just get out of the way. He has elite ball strike. I know he swings and misses a lot. But when you look at the power that he supplies, he had the fastest swing speed of the night. He had the hardest exit velocity of the night. You can see the tools when he's finally on the field. So there's plenty to be excited about with Garrett Mitchell moving forward. And we've already said the number a few times today about the runners and scoring position mistakes, going 3 for 18 with Risp. You know, Yelich at the top of this order, there are things that I notice that show an adjustment to me. I know the casual fan, and I'm not trying to call anybody out here, but I know the fan is going to see 0 for 4 and slam their hands on the table and say, not good enough, which I think Yelly would agree with you, not good enough. But you see now his last two games, opposite field fly balls, seeing a concerted effort to lifting the baseball and using the opposite field again. Number two, ball strike. He's drawing walks. He opened the game with a walk. He had a walk in a key situation as an intentional walk, so there's still a fear of him today. Less swing and miss is another thing I've noticed from Christian Yelich. Let these adjustments play out. Let him get this right. He has spent 14 years in the show. I think he can figure this out. I know he can figure this out. He's 34 years old. You don't get to be a 34-year-old in the show by accident. Now, it was bad timing for Churio to not really do anything his first five at-bats of the day, having three strikeouts in that time. Bowers was 3 for 6, but it's, you know, a line that includes a double and a run scored and a run batted in. But the base-running blunder with the safety squeeze, he didn't have the best day defensively over at first base. I didn't realize how bad the numbers were, and I know as a numbers guy, right, that the outs above average numbers were as low as they were. I don't love outs above average personally. I knew the DRS number was low for Jake Bowers. When I saw it on Apple TV saying that he was in the second percentile for OAA among first basemen, I need to do some digging on that and see what's going on. I know he really struggles going to his right. You know, how many balls have we seen get by him in that direction? Miscommunications with him and Bryce. And I think he had a bad night with the scoops as well. Could have saved one on David Hamilton, but also make a better throw by David. At the same time, this is the Brewers' conundrum. Neither Bowers nor Vaughn have, like, you know, a ceiling of first base defense that makes you go, that's my guy. And I'm not trying to disparage them. I think Bowers is a better scoop than Vaughn. I think Vaughn makes all the plays he's supposed to make. I think Bowers can make one or two more exceptional plays at the same time making one or two more plays where you're just like, oh, my, just, man, that was so close. But I'm, again, first base's position, it is so hard to judge defensively for a multitude of reasons. You've got the runner being held on. You've got pull side shifts. You've got, again, the Brewers are a team that likes to pick off a lot. I mean, there's a lot that goes on at first base that can't be graded. You could talk to a lot of people in the advanced analytics world. You can't grade first base defensive metrics the same way you grade a shortstop's defensive metrics. And we don't. I'm not saying we do. But sometimes we see, instantly see, negative six OAA. Oh, he stinks. Like, okay, well, let me dive into that. Let me get back to you. Maybe a Brewers Weekly in the second half. We'll get back to you on that. But the cold, obviously, is the Brewers going 3-for-18 with runners in scoring position. But again, I'm okay with that 18 number. I love how many opportunities they gave themselves with runners in scoring position. And maybe another underrated stat about today's game for the Crew, they still drew 5 more walks. And in the 11-inning game, they only struck out 10 times. 3 of them were Churio. There's still a lot to like from this offense. They're in a weird stretch, quite frankly. Divided attention, as Pat Murphy says. That All-Star break is looming, and you want to get to that break as quickly as possible. The Brewers get the win today in 11 innings, somehow, some way, 7-4 over the Diamondbacks. We'll do a little buy or sell coming up next as the Brewers have some decisions to make in their rotation. We'll talk about that after this on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 11-4. Sorry, in 11, 7-4. It's late. We got another late one tomorrow. Same time, same place. 8:45 first pitch Central Time. We will have a Brewers extra innings after it once again. If you don't want to stay up late, Brewers All Access wherever you get your podcasts. Brewers All Access. This was a good one. From Dennis, is Pat Murphy on track to win Manager of the Year for a third year in a row? I'm selling that take. This is our buy or sell, and then we'll talk about some pitching updates. I'm selling that because I know the computer said the Brewers weren't going to win the division, but yet the Brewers are going to win the division. I mean, they were my pick at the start of spring training, and I haven't wavered from that pick. But the way that this season has played out, the target is on the Brewers' back. You can't tell me that a lineup that features another year older of Bryce Turang, another year older of William Contreras, another year older of Jackson Churio, returning veterans like Bowers, like Yelich, like Contreras, was going to get worse, right? You can't tell me that what the Brewers do in their pitching staff, regardless of who goes out there, right? Quinn Priester hasn't thrown a pitch this year, and he won't. Brandon Woodruff missed more than a month, and they're fine. They have the best starters ERA since the first week of June in baseball, right? Since they came back from Vegas, basically. It's pretty impressive stuff. That being said, I think it's going to be hard for him to win a third year in a row because, number one, what Clayton McCullough is doing down in Miami deserves some praise. I mean, that team being in a playoff position is pretty remarkable. Another one, too, Blake Butera with the Washington Nationals. Like, they're out of the playoff picture right now, but not by much. It's not his fault that his bullpen stinks. I think it's going to be a lot harder for Murph because there's better competition, better stories. We like stories. And a three-peat for Manager of the Year for the plucky Brewers, as you may have heard Wade Randazzo and Dontrell Willis kind of call that out. Like, they're not underdogs. Stop buying that. And I agree with them, quite frankly. Pitching updates, though. Brandon Woodruff tomorrow. Logan Henderson was scheduled to throw today in AAA. I'm double-checking that they got that game in because of rain. Looks like they might have been rained out, actually. Yeah, they were rained out. So I imagine he'll pitch one of those games tomorrow. That impacts what the Brewers are going to end up doing with the rest of their week because they expect this to be the last outing for Logan Henderson down in AAA Nashville. 75-ish pitches or so was the game plan for Logan. They want him back before the end of the All-Star break. So maybe that's the last game against St. Louis now, coming up on Thursday. or you save him for Friday against the Pirates, or Saturday even. It just depends on how they want to shake things out, assuming he pitches tomorrow in one of those doubleheader games. Another update, a reminder that Tuesday, being a doubleheader, you're allowed to call up a 27th man for one of those games. You generally make that your starting pitcher or a bullpen arm, or whatever it may be, and then you can send him back down to the minor leagues with no penalty. I imagine that could probably be Robert Gasser, quite frankly. I know he was optioned to Arizona Complex League. I don't think that's, you know, that's kind of a paper move because the AAA roster is currently active. So that's kind of the game within the game stuff that you may or may not know about. But I think that those are some two key arms that the Brewers are going to then have to figure out. Does Shane Drouin stay in the rotation? Does Brandon Sproat stay in the rotation? Do you put one of those guys in the bullpen? How do the Brewers shake things out when those two arms return? Something for down the road, but that exit is approaching quickly on this highway. Buy or Sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, WendorfTeam.kw.com. Brewers win, and we'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, and we'll get to some highlights on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Play of the game. Could be Garrett, two-run homer. Could be Bowers, three hits, Churio, go-ahead RBIs. Nah, I'm going Chad Patrick. 3 1/3 of scoreless relief when the Brewers really needed it. He's my player of the game. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Heard plenty from me. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after the win in 11 innings.
We could see that Harrison was not, you know, filling up the zone like he normally does, behind in the count a lot, pitch count really high. That ball wasn't coming out the same. That was a good opportunity to get him out of there. We hit some line drives early. The guy that, you know, Gurriel stealing the home run is an unbelievable play. I almost clapped. Of course, I'm kidding, but, you know, we're up 6-0 there if that ball goes out. It's a different game. We might let Harrison keep going, you know what I mean? But as it turned out, you know, and then everything we did backfired, you know, Hamilton's base running and Hamilton's defense. We didn't get a bunt down, and then it pops up, it hits the ground, and then pops right up to the catcher. He makes a great throw. Can't blame Bowers on that. I mean, you can't read that. The ground ball that Perdomo tags Hamilton, that's just, I've never seen it in my life. It's unbelievable. You can't make that shit up.
What was the message to Grant when you walked out there?
We were talking about bunt defense. They were going to bunt. It was clear that Moreno was not going to bunt. But in case he did, we had it, what we wanted to do, and I just want to make it clear. And I told Grant in the bullpen, I called down there and just said, hey, don't try to do extra, man. Don't try to be extra. Just be yourself.
How impressed were you with him, the way he poised. Five pitches for that 10th inning?
His poise was amazing. McGill, Uribe, Ashby, on top of Patrick, you know, 8 1/3 innings of relief. That was pretty impeccable. You know, I don't know where they rate offensively, but I know where their players are. I know those players in and out. You know, those first seven are really good players. You know, those first seven are guys I'm familiar with that are really good players.
Mark, what did you see off in Harrison in that third inning?
Yeah, he just couldn't land anything, and behind, and then he started throwing that heater, and the heater was flatter. And once we noticed that the heater's flatter like that, you know, it was a matter of time. So, I mean, we did everything we could do to screw it up. If we, communication, bunt, not bunt. A lot to show ourselves up on, but a lot of good performances.
Does Hamilton need to run? Does he need to do something differently?
Yep. Get tagged. Stop.
Anything else?
Stop. It's okay if you're out. Both of you can't be out. And the run scores. we know with the ball, the way the ball's hit, someone's going to be out. We're okay with that. But no way two guys are going to be out.
You're finding ways to win games, obviously.
I'm not sure we did that tonight. I'm not sure which team lost it and which team won it, but I'm thankful we stayed with it.
How important was that 3 1/3 out of Patrick, considering huge. How long that game went and how early there was an exit?
Huge. And that's who he is.
Bryce has been swinging the bat well lately as well?
No. No. He's getting back to it. Churio and Yelich, it's not their best days. Bowers has been swinging it. Mitchell's been swinging it. Sal's been swinging it. Contreras here and there, Terang, pretty good. You don't win a lot of those games like that. You just go dormant after that offensively. And then you make base running mistakes or you do little things. Don't execute the ball.
Good to know that Murph and I agree that the Brewers probably did not deserve to win this game. Nonetheless, with 2 2/3 from Kyle Harrison and 72 pitches to get 9 outs, the bullpen saved the day. No earned runs and 8 1/3 innings. Highlights coming up next to catch you up in case you went to bed early. Well, here's what you missed on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Late night with the crew, Brewers and Diamondbacks, the first of three over this holiday weekend. Brewers sending Kyle Harrison to the mound against the rookie Jose Cabrera on the other side. And we pick things up in the second, a leadoff single by Jake Bowers. Garrett Mitchell made sure to introduce himself.
Cabrera's first pitch to Mitchell is driven out to center. This is crushed. Troy is back at the track. It's off the top of the wall and comes back into play, but it's going to be a home run for Garrett Mitchell. It hit the top of that yellow line, and it looks like it might have been contacted by a fan before it fell back into play. Garrett Mitchell stays hot. It's a two-run shot, and the Brewers lead it 2-0.
Yeah, it was reviewed. It hit a dude in the white. They kept showing him on TV. It doesn't matter. It's a homer. It's his eighth of the year for Garrett Mitchell, and the Brewers lead 2-0. Got another rally going in the third with one out, a single up the middle by Bryce Durant. Contreras followed with a single up the middle. That put men on the corners, and Jake continues to
2-1 pitch. Lined into right field, that's another base hit. On a hop in front of Corbin Carroll. Scoring from third, Terang stopping at second base, Contreras, and Jake Bowers is 2-for-2. He pulls an RBI single into right. The Brewers, they're putting some great swings on Jose Cabrera and lead this game 3-0 in the third.
And then the next batter was maybe the most consequential at-bat of the game. And wow, you tip your cap.
The 2-0 coming. Flied into deep left field. Backing up goes Gurriel. He's back onto the track. Gurriel right in front of the wall. Leaps up. It is caught. He jumped with the glove over the fence and robbed a home run. Unbelievable. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. That would have been the second of the night for Garrett Mitchell.
It would have been 6-0 Brewers. Instead, it's a long, loud flyout. And the Diamondbacks took that momentum and would chase Kyle Harrison in the bottom of the third inning. They made him throw 38 pitches in the frame, 72 for the outing, scoring 3 runs in a five base runner third inning. So it's a 3-3 ball game. Chad Patrick came in and settled things down, and now it was also time for revenge against Gurriel in left field.
Brewers and Diamondbacks, first pitch swinging for Gurriel, deep left. Churio's back at the track, at the wall. He jumped up, and Jackson Churio brought it back. How does that feel, Gurriel? Jack goes back to the wall, makes a leaping catch at the wall for the first out of the inning.
It was great play from Jackson. Hey, he finally robbed one without hitting the wall on his way up. Then both bullpens were really dominant from here in. The Brewers left a good opportunity stranded in the eighth inning, left the man stranded in the ninth. In the bottom of the ninth inning, all the Diamondbacks needed was one run, and with one out, speedster Tommy Troy at
the 0-1. He is a liner into a diving catch by Joey Ortiz at the hot corner. Oh my goodness, Joey! Full extension to his left. It was like he was Superman making that catch and falling to the ground.
Now, there was fear in the top of the 10th inning as we went to extras that the Brewers had failed to score in the top half, so all that the Diamondbacks would need is one. They intentionally walk Corbin Carroll to set up the double play.
There's the 0-2. Chopped softly towards shortstop. Pratt flips to second. Terang relays to first. It's in time! A double play! A high two-bounce chopper by Moreno, the catcher, and the Brewers able to turn it 6-4-3, winning run to third, but with two out.
They would keep a zero on the board in that 10th inning and finally break the dam in the 11th. The leadoff walk to Cooper Pratt. He was then bunted over to third base with the placed runner, Blake Perkins. So second and third, they intentionally walk Christian Yelich to load the bases. Big mistake for Jack.
Game tied at three. Thompson set. The 1-1 coming. Chopped very softly up the third baseline. A swinging bunt. Throw to the plate by the pitcher. He threw it wide of the catcher, Moreno. One run in. Here comes a second run to the plate. Pratt, he'll score on the error. And Yelich ends up at third base. You have to score it. An infield hit for Churio and a swinging bunt. Give him an RBI.
That made it 4-2 Brewers. And with two strikes, Bryce made the finishing blow.
Thompson ready. Another big 3-2. Here it is. Line drive into left. A base hit by Terang. One run in. Around third, Churio. And Gurriel's throw to the plate is close but late. Advancing to second on that throw is Bryce Terang. His third single of the night drives in two, and the Brewers have a 7-3, 11th inning lead in Phoenix.
How about it? They would win by the final of 7-4, just the place runner scoring in the bottom of the 11th. Grant Anderson earning the win and some serious, serious work for him to keep the Brewers back to 22 games above 500. Let's preview tomorrow's matchup and get ready to say goodnight or good morning right after this on 620. WTMJ. We're rubbing our eyes. We're yawning. Should have had another coffee, but we survived a solo post-game show in the middle of the night. Thanks to everybody who stayed up late with us. Brewers All Access, in case you don't want to stay up late tomorrow after the fireworks. If you got a few pops in you, you don't want to be able to make it, you're going to all of a sudden wake up in a weird slumber in the middle of the night, and WTMJ is still on your radio, and you're like, wait, that's not Dom. Who is that? What am I listening to? The 4th of July? What's going on? That's how I kind of feel right now, honestly. But the Brewers tomorrow, same time, same place. So get your rest in. 8:45 Central Time, first pitch. We're on the air at 8:10 with the On Deck Show built by Menards. I'll be with you post-game for Brewers All Access. Then a little bit earlier in the day on Sunday, it is a 3 o'clock first pitch for a 2 o'clock airtime on WTMJ. With yours truly with Brewers Warm-Up, we'll have another Brewers extra innings after that contest as well. But tomorrow, first, it'll be Brandon Woodruff on the mound, all fired up to see him. His third start back from the injured list. Woody, 2-1, 2.59 ERA overall in the season, including his first month of the year. Of course, his shoulder inflammation came to a head against these Arizona Diamondbacks at the end of April. He's up against the right-hander, the veteran Merrill Kelly. And I tell you what, Merrill has carved out a very nice playing career for himself. I know this year the numbers aren't the prettiest in the world, but to have a sub-4 ERA in 186 games started, over 1,000 innings pitched, he's going to get to 1,000 strikeouts. After having thoracic outlet syndrome, I think that bodes really well for what Quinn Priester's recovery can look like perhaps one day. And, of course, Merrill went overseas, got better at pitching in Korea. He became great in stateside not until age 30. Right, so everybody develops on a different plane, on a different scale, and Merrill Kelly is a great story. But this year, he's 5-8 with a 5.84 ERA. The strikeouts have dried up—only 47 strikeouts in 81 innings and 33 walks in those 81 innings. He had 48 all year last year in 100 more innings. So, stay patient. Try to make it hurt against Merrill Kelly. And then Sunday, like we said, at 3 o'clock. And also a note, tomorrow, if you're somebody who sync up your television, tomorrow's back on Brewers.tv and on the Brewers TV channel. And then on Sunday, it'll be on Peacock, NBC Sports Extra as well, if you don't subscribe to Peacock, if you have the NBC Sports Extra on your cable package. Sunday will be Brandon Sproat, who joined us in yesterday's Brewers Weekly, wherever you get your podcasts. Again, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcast. Brandon Sproat interviewing that against Eduardo Rodriguez, who's got a dark horse case to be an all-star for the National League. And I hope Kyle Harrison did not sacrifice being an all-star with his outing today. Some good quotes from the clubhouse from Kurt Hoge of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Kyle Harrison called his evening pathetic. But there's another one in about 5 days' time. Okay, good night, good morning, whatever it may be. Stay safe on this 4th of July holiday. Don't be stupid. Put it in reverse, Terry. Big thank you to Matt Yazel, our producer. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.